A university professor says that men who do not vote for Kamala could be lined up and shot, while a lesbian captain wrecks a boat that maps the bottom of the ocean. Let's take a look at diversity and inclusion in its finest. Welcome to the 28th episode of the Magnifying Glass podcast. I am your host, Elena Moore. Excuse me if my voice sounds a little weird. I'm getting over a cold right now, so just bear with me. But this week, we're going to take a breather from the unnatural disasters taking place as we speak and pivot to taking a look at the reality of DEI speak, diversity, inclusion, and equity, and the repercussions of pushing a woke agenda. So the first thing we're going to take a look at is something that's going viral right now as I'm recording, and that is of a University of Kansas professor. A professor at the University of Kansas, in this video that I'm about to show you, says that men who don't vote for Kamala could be lined up and shot. Take a listen.
Guys are smarter than girls. You got some serious problems. That's what frustrates me. There are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
Oh, definitely don't show the dean, though. I think the dean's probably seen it by now. After doing some digging, I found out that this just happens to be the Professor Phil Locock, who is a professor in the health science department at the University of Kansas. It seems he's the director of international student athlete support and an adjunct faculty member for the health science department, as he has listed on his very bare LinkedIn. It says on there, and I'm putting it up on the screen right now, that he has been in this part of the university for 31 years now, since 1993. It looks a little like the athletic department has removed his Locock's page on their website. So we'll see if that comes back up or if it stays out. But all day, this video has been making the rounds on X/Twitter. This is the Kansas University online directory that has the same things that we just talked about with his two positions with the university. I found this actually from a tweet from an apparent student who he said he took a class and his name is Phil Locock, because right now it's just going around that he's some professor at the University of Kansas. It's hilarious how in this screenshot I'm showing you of this alleged student, someone responded back and said, well, just curious, what course is he teaching to somehow weasel his agenda into? And the guy, whose username is Betting Sharps, said, yeah, that's the funniest part. He teaches a community health class and he's fat as S. For anyone who has not been involved in higher education recently, this is not out of the norm. I experienced it when I was at college. I have a lot of friends in public and private universities alike across the nation that have said similar things. And if you talk to many awake college students, it is most likely they'll tell you something similar. It doesn't really matter what class it is. Most of the professors are going to say something out of pocket, but it's only out of pocket to us because the money that they are getting from the state normally is funding DEI initiatives. This one was just caught on camera. A $100 million Navy ship with a lesbian captain runs aground, catches fire, and sinks. The New Zealand lost its first Navy vessel since World War II in the first week of October after the HMNZS Manawanui, which is a 100-million survey and dive vessel commissioned in 2018 that ran aground, burst into flames, and then sank off the coast of Samoa. The commanding officer was Commander Yvonne Gray, a Brit who moved to New Zealand in 2012 after the New Zealand Navy and joined the New Zealand Navy after taking a vacation to the country with her lesbian wife. She has previously served with the British Navy since 1993. Also formerly a teacher from Yorkshire, England, took command of the vessel just last year. Her appointment marked another milestone in the Navy's diversity agenda, but critics argue that such priorities may have overshadowed critical operational readiness. You wouldn't say. Well, let's look a little deeper into this, and I'm pulling from multiple different articles that will be popping up on screen as we're going so you can follow along to get the full injury of this fire and sinkage. Reports say that after the ship crashed into a reef, it caught fire within 15 minutes and sank from there, which now sets up a potentially disastrous oil spill that could greatly harm the local reef and the fishing ecosystem in that area. Three crew members have been reported to have required medical attention, with one for a dislocated shoulder and another for a back injury. Reuters reported that the New Zealand's Navy is already working at reducing capacity for three of its nine ships idle due to personnel shortages. So this is one of only nine ships that the New Zealand Navy owns, and it's now at the bottom of the ocean, thanks to their captain. Force News reported that the Chief of Navy, Rear Admiral Garen Golding, says she, being the captain, made the right decision to evacuate the 75 people aboard, which, quote-unquote, saved lives. Defense Minister Judith Collins says a court of inquiry will establish how the Navy ship crashed into the reef. She called the evacuation something of a triumph, frankly, given the difficult conditions. Well, at least she's looking on the bright side. Yes, no lives were lost. But let's see what makes this even more interesting. So the New Zealand Herald reported that Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has said that he has talked to Samoa's acting prime minister as concerns rise in Samoa about oil spills and pollution from the vessel. He says that our focus now moves to making sure we can mitigate and minimize any environmental impacts. They welcomed any and all support we can offer, and that's what we plan to do. Well, I hope so, since you were the ones that caused the pollution. He goes on to say, quote, we're going to do everything it takes to make sure we do the best we can minimize the environmental impacts, end quote. He said cleanup spills teams were sent to Samoa on a C-130 that flew to Samoa on Sunday, and more equipment and expertise was on the way. Luxon continued that Maritime New Zealand has, quote, a huge capacity and capability, end quote, and was also on its way to assist. Well, they may not have many ships, but they're going to clean their mess, I guess, that they have created. And I'm sure they'll also say they saved the environment because of it. I took a look at the New Zealand Defense website, which will be popping up as well, to look more into what this ship actually was and why they bought it. Well, the Navy specialist divers and hydrographers provide vital service to New Zealand, the Pacific, and our partners, such as undertaking underwater search and rescue with the New Zealand police, surveying the seabed following major earthquakes, and removing unexploded historical ordnance in the Pacific Islands. This ship is an 85-meter Norwegian-built multi-role offshore support vessel, and it is part of a new project to deliver a new dive and hydrographic capability to the Royal New Zealand Navy. So, let's break it down real quick. A hydrographic ship takes photos and maps the bottom of the ocean. So you would think that it would take photos of a reef and know that that's there, and they should most likely avoid it with the ship. No, well, this captain wrecked a ship that was purchased to know where everything is located on the bottom of the ocean, and still managed somehow to not only catch it on fire, sink it, but then have the elected officials call it a triumph because nobody died. When are we going to figure out that these DEI initiatives don't work? When is our state legislators going to stop funding these initiatives through their state budgets? Because mind you, these public universities are getting money for DEI initiatives, most likely through the state. This is embarrassing, and it's just going to get worse the more money we pump into it, whether it's through the state or the federal level, because trust me, it's not just New Zealand doing it, it's America too. Thank you for joining us today on the Magnifying Glass podcast. We delve deep, bringing the overlooked into focus and magnifying the stories that matter to you. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, rate, and share, helping us shine a light on even more discoveries. I'm your host, Elena Moore, and remember, sometimes the smallest details make the biggest impact. Until next time, keep looking closer.